Chapter 1972, Charting a New Course, Strike One. The game, Baltimore Orioles 3, New York Yankees 1 in 7 innings. At Memorial Stadium, Baltimore, Maryland. Attendance, 13,153. It was Sunday, April 16th, 1972, and the weather was miserable, cold and rainy. Hall of Famers, Orioles manager Earl Weaver, pitcher Jim Palmer, and third baseman Brooks Robinson. Game highlights. This was, by far, the most sparsely attended opening day of the streak. A player strike had wiped out the season's first week, and rain postponed Saturday's rescheduled season opener in what was to be a rare Sunday afternoon opening day doubleheader. But the foul weather continued through the weekend. They managed to squeeze in only one rain-shortened 7-inning game. Fans across the country were angry at the players, and many stayed home. In Baltimore, they expressed their displeasure in a way that seems unimaginable in retrospect. They heckled Brooks Robinson. One of the city's most cherished sports figures of all time was also the Orioles' union representative. The few who braved the elements booed Brooks when he came to the plate for the first time since the work stoppage. The future Hall of Famer later insisted with a smile it was remnant cheers for Boog Powell, who batted just ahead of him. Robinson was quickly forgiven as he drove in 2 runs. Doyle Alexander came on after a long rain delay to relieve starting pitcher Pat Dobson. The 21-year-old Alexander had been acquired during the offseason from Los Angeles in a 6-player deal that sent future Hall of Famer Frank Robinson to the Dodgers. Robinson remains the only man to win the Most Valuable Player Award in both the American and National Leagues, NL MVP in 1961 while playing with the Cincinnati Reds, and AL MVP in 1966 with the Orioles. A personal highlight for me might have been a meaningless 5th-inning single by Yankees second baseman Bernie Allen, who had played for the Washington Senators the past 5 seasons. The story. By all rights, my opening day streak should have ended after just 2 years. Major League Baseball had taken away my team. Dad and I were there on September 30th, 1971, the night of the franchise's last game as the Washington Senators. Bob Short had followed through on his threat to move the team to Texas, and American League owners had approved. It was an angry night at RFK. Fans brought banners to display their disdain for the owner. I remember sitting along the first baseline, staring out at center field as one fan unfurled from the upper deck a long vertical white scroll with black letters that read, S-H-O-R-T. Short. A minute later, a second scroll completed the message, S-T-I-N-K-S. Short stinks. The Senators rallied from a 5-1 deficit against the visiting New York Yankees to take a 7-5 lead into the 9th inning. My idol Frank Howard had homered in the 6th to tie the game, his 237th and last as a Washington ballplayer. It was a D.C. baseball record that would stand for 47 years until Ryan Zimmerman broke it in 2017. The crowd was delirious, but the end was near. The end of the game and the end of the Washington Senators. The team needed just one more out for a win that would have allowed them to close out the season just 37 and a half games behind the first place Baltimore Orioles. More than needing the win, the fans needed souvenirs. Without waiting for the final out, they poured onto the field in droves, grabbing anything they could, the bases, sod, banners, seats, you name it. The Yankees won by forfeit. I cried myself to sleep that night. On opening day 1972, it should have been a non-event for me. My team was gone, and I would be rooting for the Texas Rangers from afar. Fans in Washington weren't the only ones who were angry. Emboldened by Curt Flood's unsuccessful legal challenge, the players had gone on strike just before the 1972 season, a first in baseball history, but certainly not the last. Players were seeking improvements to their pension fund and, more importantly, binding arbitration in salary disputes, a critical stepping stone on the path to free agency. Ultimately, the players prevailed that spring, although the owners claimed victory, refusing to reschedule or pay players for games missed in early April. The strike delayed the start of the season by nearly 2 weeks. I don't remember the details, but I suspect after Mass that Sunday morning, the conversation went something like this. Roundy:
let's go to the game.
Me: what game?
Opening day.
Where?
Baltimore.
Huh? Then out would have come a paper map about the size of a brochure, crisply folded more than 100 times. Once unfolded for use, it would never again be restored to its precise original condition. We would chart the 50-mile adventure from our house in northwest Washington, D.C. to Memorial Stadium, a previously unknown journey into enemy territory. The Orioles at the time were the best in baseball, but rivals to my beloved Senators. The Birds had won more than 100 games in the American League pennant each of the previous three seasons. They were a big deal, and in Roundy's mind, worth the trip. They returned a starting rotation, which the year before had accomplished something that had not happened since 1920. Four starting pitchers each won at least 20 games in a single season: Jim Palmer, Mike Cuellar, Dave McNally, and Pat Dobson. I doubt we were still in the stadium when the game ended. I suspect when Dobson exited, so did we, if not earlier. A whiny, cold 11-year-old probably wanted to go home. But the streak continued. For the box score, play-by-play, and more, visit openingday5050.com.